Get out of here, jacket. I'm trying to record. Stop it. That's better.
I taught that jacket a lesson. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, the jacket pummeling dangerous ASMR, and we are back for probably the last in quite a while because holy shit, all those Q&A questions. A Drunken Dangerous. Yes, we are here and we are reading some more worst-rated creepypastas. I don't know about you, but personally, I miss the chance to read the stories that made me feel like any mistakes I have in my writing are just so small, just so infinitesimal in comparison to this. You know, like, I see people who just write these great works of literature and I'm like, wow, their mastery of the English language is incredible. I'd never reach, you know, that level of greatness. And then I see these creepypastas and I go, but it could be worse. So, like, I mean, it's not, you know, so it's kind of like in comparison, like, you know, some people might have like an ugly friend to make themselves look better. Not me. If you're just like a bad person, you know what I mean? That's like the cliche anyway, right? Like the duff, right? Like the designated ugly fat friend. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's a thing, right? Like, oh, you have friends that make you look good in comparison. Well, this is the like writing equivalent of having a friend who's like 900 pounds and covered in festering boils and like lives off of, I don't know, sewer sludge and just the least appealing person. That's the friend. So that's why it makes me feel so good. I'd be like, at least I'm not, you know, my friend, homeless sewer man, Joe. You know, I mean, granted, I'm not that much better than sewer man, but, well, you know, he kind of sounds like as sad as that would be. Although now I'm kind of wondering, and this is all of this rambling bullshit conversation is just, you know, cluing you into the fact that, as the title indicates, I am not exactly sober. As I was saying about my sewer friend in this analogy that makes total sense to my high ass, you know, how did he get to be 900 pounds in the sewer? It's like a good question, right? Did he go in at 900 pounds or did he feed himself up? And the question is, what is in the sewer that is that calorie dense and nourishing to a human? Or is he eating people? Who knows? Maybe that's going to be the next creepypasta, which we're about to read now, because I do not want to continue this train of thought. It's disturbing even to myself and everyone else. Yes, I know. Don't be concerned for my well-being. I'm just extraordinarily high on Pineapple Express. My brain is taking the Pineapple Express all the way down to homeless Joe thoughts that make no fucking sense to anyone but myself. This episode brought to you by no one. Who the fuck would sponsor this shit? Wait, you guys, cheers. This episode and that sick train of thought sponsored by you glorious bastards. Thank you. Thank you very much for wasting your money with me. All right. Our first story, not the homeless Joe story. I know you were very excited. You were just like, ooh, I got shivers. I know, me too. You weren't afraid of me. You were afraid of the story. Get it straight. Anyway. I'm good. First story, real story. It is called Haunted. That's a unique name. Never heard that one before. Fucking got him. Rated 3.97 out of 10 from 331 votes. It has an estimated reading time of 2 minutes. All right. It's your first night in your new apartment. Oh, see, it's like role play. Your stuff is still in boxes. Your furniture, with the exception of the mattress on the floor, hasn't arrived yet. The utilities won't be turned on until the next day, so you're making do without. A flashlight and some candles will do for light until you go to sleep. Despite the creepy feeling of being in a dark, empty apartment all alone, you chalk it up to nervousness and try to get some sleep. Yes, truly terrifying. A sound wakes you up. You lay there for a moment, waiting to decide if it was real or just your imagination being too loud. What? No, that's called a hallucination. A loud imagination? Yes, don't you hate it when your loud imagination tells you to burn the house down? Yes, oh, I hate it. Shut up, imagination, shut up! You're not there! You're not real! When the sound happens again, you check your cell for the time. 2 a.m. You get up, using your cell phone for light, and make your way towards the kitchen, the apparent source of the noises. At first, you think somebody has broken into your apartment, but you choke down your reaction. As you stare at the figure, well, what was your reaction that you choked down? Your fear? How do you choke down a reaction? Do you try to gasp, but you, like, push it down internally, like, nope, you go away, gasp, and you just push it down into your face? Like, how does that work? Just very curious how you choke a reaction down. Just anyone? I'm just curious. As you stare at the figure, it is a middle-aged man wearing what amounted to striped pajamas. Oh my God, it's Harvey Weinstein. And standing in front of the microwave with his back to you. Although seemingly solid, you can also see through his body. You're paralyzed, mostly out of fear, but partly out of curiosity. Ah yes, being paralyzed by curiosity. We all know what that means. Hey, you finally manage to say. Yeah, that's your voice, you little pussy. The man looks in your direction, turning slowly. Does he look in one direction? Sorry, I'm so stupid. Your eyes open wide as you realize the man has no lower jaw. Oh, come on. We all saw that movie. It was The Grudge. Can we just... Letting his tongue hang free. Oh, so it was like a choice. He really wanted to just let his tongue hang free. Sometimes I feel like that too. You wake up and you're like brushing your teeth and you're like, man, I feel really bad for my tongue. It has to spend its whole time cooped up between my upper and lower jaw. If only I could remove this pesky lower jaw, then my tongue could finally hang free. This man decided to finally give his tongue its glorious freedom. And that's where it's coming from. God bless you, middle-aged man in striped pajamas. Your vision loses focus, and the apparition disappears. Off to wherever the winds take him, that free soul. A sound wakes you up. It's your phone vibrating against the floor. It's morning, or at least light is coming in through the window. You are back on your mattress, and the missed call is from your mother, that nosy old bitch. You're confused about the night before and still shaking from the experience of what you saw. Was it a dream, or did you really see a ghost? That is not a good story. I've decided I didn't see a ghost, so thanks for nothing. Trash story. I didn't even see a ghost. 0 out of 10. Do not... that's not even... It's like, boo, you saw a man with no lower jaw, then you woke up and were like, whoa, did that happen? And if I have to answer that question, I'm skeptical and my answer is no, it didn't. And I just got spooky spooked because I was in a dark, scary apartment like a pussy. I don't like it. But it's an excuse to get higher. All right, let's read the next story. Hopefully it's better. And they don't ask me a question. Do they just tell me, yes, it was a ghost. And you'd pissed the bed. And you know the worst part? You just moved in, so you didn't even install the mattress protector yet. Now you have piss in your new mattress. Good job, pissy pants baby boy. That's a pretty scary ending because you have to live with yourself now knowing you pissed yourself because of a scary nightmare. Okay, next story. Sunburn. 3.98 out of 10 from 796 votes. Reading time is 3 minutes. I awoke to the sound of my mother in the kitchen. Groggily, I swung my legs out from under the covers and got dressed in jean shorts. Ah, my jorts, a classic. And a simple white t-shirt. Then I grabbed a cloth off of my dresser. Was it your jerk-off rag? It was a bandana that I had found earlier in the year, in January. It was in a box at a yard sale labeled, "Do not wear in sunlight." A funny joke, I thought. I took it to the lady running the sale. She was old and frail. Oh, it rhymed. She stared at me. "Don't wear that in the sun." I laughed and bought it anyway. Well, I mean, wouldn't you want to ask her why? I mean, sure, she's a crazy old lady, but I want to hear a crazy old rant reason why. Is it chemtrails? Like, will it make me gay? And if so, cool. All right, so I laughed and bought it anyway. What an old hag. God damn, dude. I put it on my head and tied it in the back. I had never before worn it. So wait, I'm guessing that you bought it earlier in the year, but now currently you put it on your head and tied it in the back. Not, it, okay, because it wasn't a new paragraph. And so I got really confused. But so I had never before worn it. As I walked into the kitchen, my mother said to me, "Darling, go out to the shed and get the hedge clippers. I need you to trim the holly bushes out front." I agreed to do as she asked. After all, she was my mother. So I strode down the cobblestone path behind our house towards the shed. As I neared that old shed, I noticed how hot it was outside. It was so hot outside that the heat was coming off of the surface of the shed in waves. Oh no, it couldn't be the bandana, could it? No. I pushed open the door. "Ow!" I exclaimed. Yeah, you're a little pussy baby in this one too. The sizzling door blistered my hand. I shook it off and went inside. Oh, he was sweltering. I immediately broke into a sweat. The drops rolled off my nose and onto the dirt floor of the shed. I wanted to quickly find the hedge clippers. As I dug around in a toolbox, the sweat on my face started to blur my vision. I wiped my brow and was surprised to find that the sweat didn't come off. I passed it off as a trick of the heat, blinked my eyes, and found the hedge clippers. I left the shed only to find even more heat outside. Oh, it was painful! But I had to do what my mother asked, or I'd be in trouble. I clomped to the front yard and started on the bushes. The sun bared down on my back and arms. Even my butt felt like fire. That's hemorrhoids. And I was crouching, hiding it from the sun. Hiding your butt? You were crouching, hiding your butt from the sun. Is that the only reason you were crouching? Is your ass normally on fire? Did you, like, plan to crouch? Because you're like, oh no, my poor bottom is going to get toasty. So you started crouching? Like, that's, I'm sorry, just hiding it from the sun, taking care of his sweet, sweet tender bottom. That's, like, the best thing ever. My front and face and feet and fingers are all burning too. I mean, wouldn't you say if the bottom of your feet are burning, weren't those hiding even more from the sun? Since they're on the fucking bottom of your feet and not even exposed to the sun? But no, his poor bottom is super red. What a pussy. The heat was immeasurable, intense, and I suffered all afternoon. Sounds like me when I was 10 and my parents asked me to do any chore. Every time I tried to wipe the sweat away, it stayed and got sopped up in my bandana, creating a soaking wet veil on my head. Aw, he's the bride. And finally, the bushes were finished. I quickly retreated inside and into my room to get clothes. Then I flew into my bathroom to take a shower and clean up. I gasped at my reflection. Bright red skin stretched over my face and back and front. No tan lines are visible. My whole body was sunburned and the sweat remained unclearable from my visage. I touched my skin. Agony erupted all over my body. I then realized I hadn't removed the bandana. I tried to pull it off. It wouldn't come. I tried in vain to rip it from my head, but it wouldn't budge. On the third attempt, I accidentally touched my burned skin. In a fit of pain, I scratched my forehead. The skin was already peeling. Ew. I took hold of a peeled piece and pulled, eyes closed, but I could sense the coming agony, but it didn't come. I continued to pull at the piece. Finally, it came loose. I opened my eyes and screamed. My face had been peeled off! Then how are you alive and reading this? I mean, writing this. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. I swear, officer. I looked at the bandana in horror. The memory of the box. It was coming in, coming back to me. Slowly, the rest of my skin on my head fell off. Peeling in slow motion. People aren't bananas. How do you think our skin is attached, my dude? We could just peel us? Like, layers? We're not onions. We're not ogres. People don't have layers. I watched in horror as the skin on my arms and legs went. Could you imagine if bodies were like that? If you skinned somebody, you could just the whole thing off of them when they're alive, just peel it all off in a single swoop. I watched in horror as they all went, oh, just as my eyes burned, bloodshot were about to fall out. I noticed brownish smeared words on the bandana written in blood and sweat. I warned you not to wear it in the sun. Okay, so I'm guessing, is it like, that has to be like invisible ink on the inside of that bandana that's like only triggered by sweat. So like, if you sweat and you rubbed it off with the bandana, be like, I told you not to wear it in the sun. And you're just like, didn't, bitch. But this is cool. I'm going to show my friends this awesome bandana. I mean, I'm just imagining people like a string cheese now where you can just peel them in just big strips like jerky. I'm not saying people are delicious and should be eaten like jerky and string cheese, which is delicious. Don't eat people. That's the message of this story, Mr. FBI. Okay, this next story sounds so fucking boring. If you thought the last two were shit, this one's even worse, no doubt. It's called The Post Office. I mean, the only way it could be worse is if it's what, the DMV? It's got 3.98 out of 10 stars from 1.39K votes, so a lot of people agreed this is shit. The estimated reading time is 2 minutes, which is not the usual time I'm fucking forced to stand in line at the post office. In the panhandle of Oklahoma, let me guess, it's a post office that you eventually can leave. Along the interstate, there is a lone brick building marked Post Office Number 56 and is marked with tape at the door as closed. The building has no doors and looks like a small box of bricks from a distance. So, it's marked with tape at the door, but it has no doors. So, which brick that's not a door functions as the door in this story? Anyone have a question? Okay, anyway, the door is always locked. Okay. You can't say the building has no doors and then say the door is always locked. Just that it doesn't have a door. It's okay. I'm keeping it together, you guys. I'm keeping it together. My brain is breaking, but I'm keeping it together. The door is always locked. It will never budge, no matter how hard you try. Maybe because it's made of bricks and can't be moved because it's not a door, like you just said. Every July 7th, very specific. If you are positioned to the west of the building with the door opposite of where you stand, your nose will begin to bleed. If you drink some of the blood, one of your teeth will fall out. That is a medical truth, as I am a world-renowned surgeon. That's just me, DA, saying this. It's not true. Don't listen to me. Take the took. I don't know what that is. I'm guessing tooth. Take the took is That's what it says. Take the tuck and go to the door. Okay. The tape will no longer be there, and the building will have one small eye-shaped window. What? What even is this? If you go to the window and place the tooth in it, the door will click open. Do not look in the window. Never look in the window. Why, though? But, like, why? When you open the door, a slow, salty breeze will blow out, and the entire room will be pitch black. Enter the room and shut the door. You will wait 10 minutes to 40 minutes, depending on the last time you saw your parents. What the fuck? Why? Why? After the time is up, a single, shrill scream will sound. Ka-ka! If you flinch, you will wake up in your bed sweating. If you don't flinch, close your eyes quickly and start running. You will run for about 4 to 7 minutes, depending on how fast you are. What the fuck? Then you will hit a wall. Do not open your eyes. The ground will feel warm. Oh God, is it flabby? Is it a flabby ground? And your eyelids will see the color red. Yeah, that's the inside of your eyes, dumbass. Do not open your eyes. Just feel around until you feel a ring on the floor. The ring will be as cold as ice. Pull on the ring and a trapdoor will open. Enter the trapdoor. Do you finally get to the post office? After doing this, you will fall through the roof of an office tile in a building in downtown Tulsa in a bathroom stall. In the toilet will be a wallet and a gold ring. Take the gold ring. Do not touch the wallet. The end. What the fuck? Why? Why would I do any of this? Why? I didn't want to lose my tooth. That's not worth losing my tooth for. I feel like a tooth is worth more than a gold ring. Dental work is expensive, yo. That's like thousands of dollars. Like, I don't have that great a dental plan. I can't afford to lose a tooth. And which one? What if it's one of the really good ones you use all the time to eat? Like a molar. Those shits are the workhorses of the mouth. And if it's one of the front ones, those are like, I'm not going outside if I have a missing front tooth. I am vain as fuck. I'll stick a chiclet up there. I don't give a fuck. That is not okay. Anyway, that sounds like an even worse visit to the post office. 0 out of 10, fuck your post office. I thought that's what it was going to take for me to get my package mailed. You open the ring, get down to the trap door, and you're finally waiting in line to the post office. And that's the only post office for 100 miles. Okay. Here's another piece of shit story. It's called Gateway. Got 3.99 out of 10 from 434 votes. This one is also 2 minutes. These are a lot of, like, I have half of an idea stories, but let's keep going. Supposedly, oh, good. Great. That's my favorite way to start a fucking story. Supposedly, supposedly, there are 7 gateways to hell scattered across the earth. These infernal entry points can, it is said, transport you to the underworld itself at certain times of the year, or if particular conditions are met. Why am I telling you this? Because I have a distinct feeling that I may have stumbled across one of such places little more than a month ago. It was around 9 p.m., and as I often do, I was walking along the rural path which connects between the center of my town and the outlying residential areas, when I noticed something quite mysterious. Why do I care where you are walking? The rural path between the center of town and the outlying residential areas. Why the fuck do we care? Why? This better play into the story later. I will hunt down this author and beat them with a tuna fish. I will do it vigorously and severely for their thoughtlessness. And you should all agree, although violence is not the answer. I wouldn't really do it, but, you know, in the spirit. I would spiritually hit them with a tuna fish. Don't sue me. Okay. Anyway, they noticed something mysterious. The sky was darker than usual, it seemed to me. But more concerning was a strange light piercing through the trees which ran parallel to the path. I stopped and looked hard towards the ethereal glow, which, whilst relatively dim, was clearly visible. After a short time, my curiosity got the better of me, and I decided to search for the source of the light. It was your asshole. It was up your ass. Trudging through the ever-thickening grass and foliage, a strange feeling of panic flooded over me. The most bizarre feeling, as though something truly horrific was about to occur. I stood still and caught my breath. And then, reasoning that it was merely a panic attack, I continued in the direction of this captivating, luminous glow. Must be coming out of his butt, and he's like, how can I find it? No more than 2 minutes had passed before I came upon the origin of the beacon. What I saw there, my mortal mind can never erase, and I feel duty-bound to forewarn you never to allow your pangs of curiosity to lead you into such a ghastly situation. If something appears amiss and malevolent in some way, give it a wide berth, lest you suffer my fate. I say this happened little more than a month ago, of course, but I no longer keep track of time. Oh, God, he's like one of those people that's like, I don't watch TV. I simply count the number of times I awaken this pure whitey room. It's W-H-I-T-E-E, so I prefer it means whitey. Whitey room. To the sound of my own blood-curdling scream! Oh, he's a pussy too. Before I am heavily sedated by the orderlies once more. I don't even remember what happened. And I don't care. He's a little baby, baby, pussy baby boy. Let's read the next one. I'm just in the mood to just shit all over these authors. And I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am, because this is a good-ass time. Snap. It's called Snap. 3.99 out of 10 by 587 people. Another 2 minutes. Are these all 2 minutes? I'm longing for a longer story, not 87 minutes like that one I skipped, but a better length, something with, like, an actual character that does more than just says, hey, I heard about a thing that happened, and then, like, maybe it didn't. Fuck off. I used to live in the lower Queen Anne region of Seattle. Just a few blocks from the Space Needle, which has a little park around it. Lawns, a fountain, sculptures, a theater, and museums. A little park which is remarkably safe after nightfall. There is also, in the same complex that has all these great museums and verdant lawns, I feel like this is an advertisement for the neighborhood. A sad little failing fair which is deserted enough in the daytime. The guy writes these really long-ass sentences that are poorly constructed. It was a great hangout for me and my friends after dark. We used to climb to the top of the roller coaster, smoke a little pot, and talk about the sort of trouble we could get in if we actually had the nerve, which we never did. It was nice. We were so high up, we could see all the city lights glittering like deep-sea fish. Weird metaphor. And there was a lovely feeling of wrongdoing coupled with that lovely feeling of wrongdoing that we all get, coupled with the almost certain fact that nobody cared we were there. One day we decided to do shrooms instead. It was a good idea at first. The pretty lights and cool, crisp air became a religious experience. Then, all of a sudden, snap! Something changed. We all felt it. The air wasn't cool or crisp anymore. Oh, you're all having a bad trip? It was musty and humid and had a horrible, somehow familiar smell. It's ball musk. You're smelling your balls. The lights started to move about in a very unusual manner, sort of lurching and bobbing and above all twerking. No, it's approaching. We didn't see anything actually come into the little patch of fair that we were looking down on, but the lights around it were far, far too close together. Yeah, that sounds like a electrical danger. Somebody should alert the engineers. Obviously, we started to freak out. Well, yeah, you're also on shrooms, so I don't believe anything you're saying now. Me and Anne-Marie and Brian, we just meeting these people, perched up on that coaster ledge like our lives depended on it. But Eric broke off running. He made his way down the coaster with the grace of an ape. like King Kong, and lunged over the fence and rushed off into the middle of the Seine. In the middle of the Seine and healthy-looking concrete? How is the concrete as sane and healthy-looking? So many questions. I don't even think I need to describe why. You're all thinking the same thing. Sane and healthy-looking concrete. Those seem kind of like biological entity descriptions, you know, not of concrete. I didn't know concrete had a sanity. What's insane concrete look like? What is insane, unhealthy concrete? Is like swastikas on it? Fuck that concrete. That's a fucked up concrete. There was a huge churring sound. Churr! Churr! That's all I'm thinking. Which was distinctly insect-like. Just imagine insect noises with that churring. And seemed to come from no direct source, but rather from every molecule of the atmosphere that surrounded us. Sounds like shrooms to me. Then, snap! The city was back to its normal peaceful self, and the three of us were still up on the coaster, beginning to shiver a little in the drizzle. We never saw Eric again. I moved to the country soon afterwards. You can visit that roller coaster in Seattle, but somehow I suspect the same thing could happen in any city. To people that take massive amounts of shrooms and have a bad trip. Anyone in a densely populated area with a lot of lights could experience just such a snap. I know they like population centers. I don't hear the churring out in the country. Dude, you did shrooms. You had a bad trip. That's it. It's not a magical experience. Oh my god, okay, well this one's called The Plague. So this one has 4.5 out of 10 from only 16 votes, so maybe these people are wrong and this story's great. Let's see. Oh, estimated reading time 9 minutes. I'm feeling, optimistic? Question mark? Not really. They weave... okay, I don't care about this fucking quote. I don't care. I'm ignoring the quote that they had. I don't give a shit. Go to the story. There was no other way to describe this. This was plague. Plague's beginning. Plague. There was no other way to describe this. Perilous. Hopeless. Just a pit of darkness. There was no cure. That much I knew. So here I rode through the masses of dead bodies. What are you writing? Seeing through two eye holes laden with glass to cover me. It was like a thin sheet of blankets, a thin sheet of protective covering, protecting me against the harsh and stale air. It wasn't like that, it is that. Familiar faces I knew, and one that killed me on the inside. Oh my God. My name is Mercy Reese. And this is my story. Oh my fucking fuck. Strap in and prepare to hate this character. Actually, I'm going to take a second to get some wine. I'm just going to cut out the time that I'm gone. But my name is Mercy Reese. This is some 15-year-old self-insert story. So I'll be right back with more wine. And I'm going to hit that vape. See you in 2 seconds when you won't be here. I mean, I'll see you in literally right now. Oh, wow, I'm back. That was amazing. I just transported back with a glass of wine to get me through this horrible Mary Sue insert story. Okay. And take, hopefully Pineapple Express will choose to take me away into a better direction. Mentally away from this fucking story. Mercy Reese, though. Do you think she likes Reese's cups? Don't you think her favorite candy would be Reese's Pieces because her name's Mercy and she likes peas? That's right, I fucking went there. Deal with it. Suffer. Suffer my buns!
My name is Mercy Reese, and this is my story.
I mean, her new name is Mary Sue. I'm just sorry.
My name is Mary Sue, and this is my story.
It's very unusual to hear a woman becoming a doctor. Oh, God. Oh, God, it's such a Mary Sue. Oh, my God. It's not unusual to hear of a woman becoming a doctor. Is this 1920? Oh, my God, Mary Sue. I called it so well. I'm sorry. I pat myself on the back. This whole first sentence is, I'm not like the other girls. I'm so special. I mean, this is so beautiful. I hate it. Okay. It's very unusual. Hold on. I'm gonna give her voice because, you know, Mary Sue's got to have a really nice voice.
It's very unusual to hear a woman become a doctor. In fact, it was so rare, everyone stared at me. As I trailed behind Mr. Actuarius.
Okay, I can't even say it with a fake voice. As I trailed behind Mr. Actuarius in the streets of Constantinople. To be specific, here's his name. Feel free to take it for your Discord name because holy shit, it's good. Johannes Zacharias Actuarius. Johannes Zacharias Actuarius. He sounds like, oh, what is this? He's like Amish from the year 3000. That's what he sounds like. He's year 3000 Amish. Johannes Zacharias Actuarius from like the underwater Amish from the year 3000. That's this man. He's a very infamous doctor. Although he looked stunningly different from anyone else you've ever seen. Okay, now I'm picturing a hideous freak, like a nuclear reaction disaster face. Because that's different from anyone I've ever seen, you know? So, like, he better not have a normal face. I'll be very disappointed.
Very sharp and a crisp figure, slim and lean.
I've seen people like that.
Sandy blonde hair and pale skin adorned with bright blue eyes. He looked like a perfect gentleman.
Wow. Way to judge on appearance. He looked like a perfect gentleman. Why? Because he was blonde with pale skin? Is that why? And skinny? I see what it is.
He drew everyone's attention straight to him. He was the shining star of the scene every single time.
Great, I hate him already. What's Gary Stew, that, right? That's Gary Stew. Then there was me, haphazardly trailing behind him, his shadow always working behind the scenes.
I had boringly brown hair and eyes, a pale skin that almost had an unhealthy sheen, and a slender, pear-shaped figure.
Just unhealthy and perfectly normal. What is that? Why? 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 Why does that mean you're unhealthy? I'm confused. In fact, too normal. What? Documents, documents, documents everywhere. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. I was the secretary, more or less, frantically keeping up with his fast-paced life. Currently, we were going back to his office, doing more paperwork, poking around bodies, performing autopsies, of course, without cutting into their bodies, but simply checking them. Why, of course? Why? I would assume an autopsy would involve actually cutting open the body. What are you doing, palm reading them? They had died from blood loss. Oh, yes, don't bother actually doing any investigation into the rest of their well-being. Just assume they died of the obvious way. It seems a thief ravaged their body. Quite badly, too.
Okay, so they had to have been, like, stabbed or something, in which case, why wouldn't you cut them open to see which organs were punctured and which wound was fatal? They always do that. It doesn't matter if that's what looked like what killed you. They have to verify that's what killed you to charge the person with murder. If you can't prove that their actions killed you, you can't charge them with murder. But maybe not in the year 3000 and with underwater Amish. I don't know. I apologize. I can tell when I'm high and I try to argue rationally.
with this absolute bullshit creepypasta logic world. So, obviously, you would never cut someone open for an autopsy when the cause of death was obvious. Why would you do extra work? At this point, though, there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. Mercy! Hearing a rushed voice... Oh, it was rushed. Mercy! I was rushed. Hearing a rushed voice, I'd spin around on my heels. Mr. Actuarius's piercing eyes following me as I replied back. This is such an awkwardly worded sentence. I need to say it again because I'm getting lost here. Mercy! Mercy! I'm sorry, it was rushed. Mercy! Hearing a rushed voice, I'd spin around on my heels. I guess saying I span around on my heels or I spun around on my heels, but no, I'd spin around on my heels. Mr. Actuarius's piercing eyes following me as I replied back and made my way over towards the kind woman. That was so awkward. Miss Smith, she was a bigger woman. She reminded me of a plump peach. Soft and round features, kind yet small brown eyes. A bit darker skin with curly, bouncy black hair. I really wish she had, like, orange fuzzy skin. Still, she was in no condition to be up and running, so I furrowed my brows and ran over to her as she gave a weary smile. Miss Smith, go lie down. You shouldn't be up. I tried to usher her into her own house as the rounded woman would laugh. Jeez, she was burning up. Rounded woman. Mercy, hon, you worry way too much. I'll be fine, I swear. You needn't worry. I don't know why I picked this voice. I just wanted to say hello. It's rare that I see you around town without your nose shoved in a file of repast. I don't know why she has this voice, but I'm here for it. She was right, though. I had ended up doing that a lot. Always following my mentor, nose deep in my own pussy, records, documents, and research. Then I would give off a sheepish laugh, rubbing the back of my neck with a soft smile as Miss Smith beamed at me. Then she began to get into a coughing fit as I furrowed my eyebrows, ushering her inside. I could remember faintly hearing Mr. Actuarius's footsteps behind me. When she was finally in bed and asleep, after we had told her to lie down and get plenty of rest, because she had a common fever, we decided to find... She has COVID. Quarantine yourselves. Fuck, you weren't wearing masks, were you? Fucking assholes. She was coughing everywhere. Because she had a common fever, we decided to finally head back and get back to our work. You really do have a connection, or at the least, a touch with the people here, don't you? His voice, it surprised me. Well... Not as much as his words did. He spoke in a deep voice, maybe a bit scratched, but that was because he didn't talk to much to anyone. Except for me. I guess? I just end up looking out for everyone, and apparently I'm just so approachable that I can be talked to, I guess? I mean, I really don't know. Oh, humble brag, bitch. I go on and ramble as I stared down at the stones, my face starting to flush as I further embarrassed myself. He would just smile as he pats me on the back. He sounds a little slow. As I continued to almost stumble and fall over myself like I seem to do no matter what anyway. Oh God, she's just like Bella Swan, right? From that fucking Twilight series. Where she's like, oh gosh, I'm just so boring and so clumsy. And I'm brown hair and I'm really quiet and shy. And nobody likes me except this super really exciting millionaire who's like gorgeous for no reason. They just love me even though I have no personality. And it's just like the person from 50 Shades of Grey that was based off of Twilight. Maybe this will be the next one, 50 Shades of Plague. Oh, okay. He would just smile as he pats me on the back, slow as can be. As I continued to almost stumble and fall over myself like I seem to do no matter what anyway. I should see a doctor. Then all of a sudden, both Mr. Actuarius and I stopped in our tracks. A blood-curdling speech had just impaled our thoughts and into our work. What speech would that be? Is it like Hitler giving a speech and you're like, my God, what a sick fascist? And then you're like, whoa, why is that invading my thoughts? What am I, a Nazi? Like, what the hell? We had to stop and help them. Help who? Although unknowingly we had stepped into the beginning of hell. I have so many questions. A woman in her mid-40s laid there as she screeched, her eyes dilated to the ceiling. Okay. I remembered her, wasn't. Didn't she just have a common fever? Mrs. Smith. I thought she was Miss Smith. Did she get married in the interim? She was a kind woman, always looking out for everyone like a mother. She was the mother of this neighborhood. Was she a big-tittied vampire, mommy, sitting on your face? We had recently diagnosed her with a common fever. We fucking heard. We were there, and you just said it. Although here she was, screaming and retching blood, looking at us to help her. Typical COVID. No, okay, not really. Black boils covered her neck, under her armpits, and on her mid-thighs. Check her pussy. Don't do it. I'm sorry, I don't know why I said that. My knees shook. What was this disease? It's a knee-shaking disease. It's called pussyitis. I had studied after Mr. Actuarius for a while now. And yet this problem had never been talked about. Just what is this? Being the good humans that we were, Mr. Actuarius rushed over by her side, and I stood by, shocked as I backed up into the wall, my eyes widening as I ended up dropping my documents. No, this couldn't be happening, I thought to myself as my mentor began to take his tools for examination out. I wanted to rub her back. She looked so sick, so done. She needed my help, but I was frozen, stuck there on my knees, my body shaking. I don't care. She's going to die. She's got the plague. I couldn't do anything. I was stuck there, barely holding the bile in my throat from erupting out of my mouth like Mount Vesuvius. Her eyes started to yellow, and so did her fingernails. It just got worse and worse with each passing moment, and we didn't know what to do. Then it clicked. I turned to my mentor, whispering out in a past hushed voice, "Let's shoot her." Okay, not really. Say that. "It's the plague. The one that's been killing all of China. The rumors are true." "China? Okay." "It's COVID. I fucking told you." He just looked at me and then got up and addressed the situation. He kept me calm whenever I freaked out. He was the infamous Mr. Actuarius. Now we had to keep us cool. Infamous. We'll be back. We need to go and check this out. I'm terribly sorry. His voice shook a bit. I couldn't even open my pale lips because, of course, all of you is pale and unremarkable and sickly and unhealthy and pear-shaped. Did we mention pear-shaped? I would have ended up throwing up. My stomach has never been strong to these things. Yeah, me either. I really get sick when I see the plague manifesting itself in someone right in front of me. My knees were jello. I took a deep breath to even steady myself and regain my posture and then be rushed back to his station. Once we had rushed inside, he opened a nearby cabinet and began to grab various things. Blood, blood, blood. So we must have something, right? Why blood, blood, blood? Then I started to grab whatever I could think about in a frenzy, and it seemed Johannes was doing the exact things. What exact things? Who knows? We grabbed things like cooked onions. Yes, that'll be useful. I'm hungry too. Rose hips. Arsenic. Ah, yes, when you're hungry to die. Clay, crushed violets, even crushed emeralds. Well, you just crush anything you can get your hands on. You're like one of those YouTube channels. Just they'll crush it, you know? Anything would help at the moment, especially if it was crushed. We needed to help Mrs. Smith, my neighborhood mother. Yes, we fucking remember what you called the old bitch. When we got back... Yeah, honestly, okay, guys. If I have the plague... And you try to fucking cure me with cooked onions and crushed emeralds, I will beat your ass from my deathbed. No, just don't do anything. I'd prefer you keep your distance. Or try to bring me that shit. I'll bring you real close and just make sure I cough on you real good. When we got back, she'd only gotten worse. We tried everything we could think of from trying to recover her. Yeah, except for actual medical science and any techniques that might actually help. We tried everything from crushed violets to crushed emeralds, but nothing works. I'll need a hit for this really quick. the end of the day, it did nothing. Like, Dangerous fucking knew it wouldn't. And she only got worse. I couldn't sleep that night knowing that Mrs. Smith was writhing in her own pain. Yeah, you could, you stupid cow. You knew it was going to happen. My stomach twisted. How could I deal with this? I can break soon. I knew that much. This went on for days. People popping up sick and us helping out only to fail miserably. We didn't understand it. The research was fruitless. Until it clicked, finally. I shouldn't have been looking online to get my doctorate. So I stood up and rushed into his office, slamming my door open, my raggy brown hair messed up in from its old tight bun. That's it! Mr. Actuarius! Mr. Actuarius, I've figured it out! It's in the air! It's all the cases that we've examined with they threw up blood! And what's related to blood? Air! It's in the air that's causing this! He looked at me like I was a madman, and then his eyes lit up. He realized it. The issue was in the air, that's it! So then it dropped on us in uneasy silence. If it was in the air, then we were going to get it if we kept treating this patient. It was an unsettling silence. You probably already have it. Silence. We both understood as we stared at each other. His lips were in a grim line as the sandy blonde hair was swept haphazardly behind him. Was it long now? We need to start developing protection then, actually. I might have some. Wow, that was a quick sentence? No. We need to start developing protection, then actually I might have some. Like, okay. JK, I already developed it. My eyes widened and I felt them. Your eyes? What was he getting on about? He leads me into a back room and there was around 3 or 4 of these suits. I didn't know what to describe them as. It looked bird-like and creepy, dark, and I honestly didn't know what to think about. You're a plague doctor. To think about it at the time... Johannes grasped one suit, the smallest of them. My mind was racing. Why were they here? Why were they in these dark pits? I gently grasped the suit. It was very waxy and a thick material. I think he said something about canvas. I don't know. My mind was completely numb. A sickening churn started to twist and knot my gut as my eyes grew wide. I was only half hearing what he was saying. What the hell is happening? My life is falling apart at every singular moment. Fucking same. Then he grabbed my shoulders and I snapped out of it. Mercy, are you even listening? If we don't protect ourselves, then the plague is going to be rampant. Put it on, not matter how dark it might look, it's warm and it will protect you. I reluctantly followed his orders as he also put on one. That fit like a charm on him. I bet he's a sexy plague doctor. He must have tailored his. Mine wasn't so fitting. A bit baggy, but it protected me at least. I mean, at least the important part, the head, fit. Whew! First, I donned on white pants, putting them on. Then I removed my dress, which had a white button-up shirt on. I always have this shirt on in case of any emergency where I might have to remove my dress for the safety of the patient and my own well-being. Then after, I placed on the long white gloves, which I rolled up my arms perfectly. It wasn't a hindrance at all. Okay, brag about it. In fact, sometimes I forget I was wearing them. After that, I donned a black mask, which was pretty basic, and covered everything except my eyes and nose. Then next, I placed on the cloak, which was a bit larger and waxy. Little did I know I would grow into this weird thing. Like, I hope, literally, like... And finally, I looked toward the crow mask, white and as creepy can get. There were various medicines stuffed inside of this mask. Mr. Actuarius already had his stuff on, and it frightened me. Just about to where I stood there for a while, just zoning out as my heartbeat raced faster. What a pussy. Somehow, I managed to pull myself out of that and get a rather decent grip on reality again. Way better than me. I'm not doing so good. So I steadied myself and placed on the mask. It fit securely, and then finally I placed on a black gentleman's hat for more protection. My vision was limited. I felt confined. I felt terrified to the point where I was disillusioned. Same. I'm so disillusioned, bitch. Was this merely a nightmare? Yes, that's it. One terrible, terrible nightmare. This all ends soon, right? A few days later, we've been traveling for a while. Mrs. Smith had died. It was a tragedy. So, like, she has to talk like a valley girl because she thought crushed emeralds would help, so... She's clearly not very smart. Although a lot of people have died, no matter what we've done, it just seems like
everything we've tried just made everything seem so much more hopeless, so much darker. Although Mr. Actuarius is there to guide me through those times. Like, for example, Agathmelantha, what a fucking name, my own neighbor, ended up dying too from the disease. I remember crying. It was probably one of the only times I remember crying over someone. Maybe even the last. I still twitch and end up sobbing sometimes. It's hard. Think about everyone who I'd lost. I remember back to, I think, months and months ago. My memory is very fuzzy. I get nostalgic every time I think about something like this. I can actually feel a migraine coming and shrouding my senses as I remember this. Anyway, I was carrying water through this town. I'd just gotten done with some work at Mr. Actuarius's office, examining some dead animals, trying to figure out what they died from. We still never had a chance to figure it out to this day. Agatha stopped me. Her blonde hair tumbled down to her shoulders as she placed on a soft, kind smile like she always had, while her beauty mark under her right eye reflected off the dim light. "Mercy, you look exhausted. Are you sure you need to keep pushing yourself? Your eyes are tired. You and yourself always seem exhausted. Place the bucket down, please." I found myself complying as I set the what felt like a gigantic bucket of water down. It felt as if the world was lifted off my shoulders as Agatha gave a soft yet weary smile, ushering me inside and directing me to sit down. "Stay right here. I'll get you some tea." I remember arguing with her, bickering, and yet in the end, she still got me the tea. And I was grateful. At the least, I had so many loving and supporting people by my side. And what seems like the entire town had despised me. Yet here she was, lying dead from this god-awful disease. Just why was I being put through this torture? Everyone was dying, left and right. And there was nothing to do. My life fell and fell, although it got tougher and tougher. This carried on for an entire year. Then it hit. Johannes Zacharias Actuarius, Mr. Actuarius, my mentor, he had started developing symptoms. Over the years, I slowly started to develop a deep connection with him. He was what felt like my only best friend. We rode around in sheer blankness and dread, relying on each other. I didn't know what to do. Despite how strong I had become in this past year, this crushed me. I tried, relentlessly tried. Rose hips, clean water, clean air. I nursed him as if he was my own child, from my titties. Yet in the bottom of my stomach, in the bottom of my heart, I knew it was so fruitless. I was right. He ended up dying a few days later. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was utterly hopeless. My life had turned to the point of no return. I was stuck here in this pit. In the next few weeks, this continued on until I decided to take a ride through Constantinople again. There's no other way to describe this. Perilous, hopeless, just a bit of darkness. There was no cure. That much I knew. So here I rode, the masses of dead bodies, seeing through two eye holes lit in with glass to cover me. It was like a thin sheet of blankets, a thin sheet of protective covering, protecting me against the harsh night. Familiar faces I knew, and one that killed me on the inside. My name is Mercy Wraith, and that's my story. I don't care. So you were a plague doctor, and then your doctor friend got the plague and died. That was boring. 0 out of 10. Oh my god, that doctor was a bad doctor. Not a good doctor. The last story I will read for the night after I take this drink of wine is called Taken Down. Unfortunately, it hasn't been taken down off the site. It gets 4 out of 10 from 386 votes. Let's hope some interesting things happen. I'm very excited. All right. I'm prepared to be taken down. Are you? Let's see. Taken down. I groggily opened my eyelids in an attempt to pull myself out of slumber, as one does. My eyes burned with exhaustion as it was still the middle of what had been a long night. I reached for the glass of water sitting on my bedside table. My warm hand enveloped the condensation, and as I pulled the glass nearer to my face, it dripped. Yeah, I fucking hate that shit, right? It's like the worst. I made an attempt to sit up to avoid drenching myself in an ice-cold bath. I couldn't sit up. I couldn't move my torso. My throat was parched, and I grabbed it in desperation. As I stared at the glass, it taunted me. Yeah, bet you want to drink me, huh?
Okay, not literally, but I wish.
My throat tightened, becoming incredibly dry with every bead of water that rolled off the glass. Wow, that's kind of a cruel torment. The more condensation, the drier your throat. The mental taunting continued and eventually changed to a whisper. Wow, it was literally taunting him. I was just joking. I couldn't understand the voice. It mumbled incoherently in my ear. My arms were forced to my side and the glass of water was flung to the wall. It shattered a storm of shards and wetness all over the room. The shards fiercely pierced my skin. Hot, sticky blood began to spread over my body. That's a lot. The voice turned into many voices, and they wouldn't cease. Bet you want some water, huh? Bet you want some water. I screamed out for help. I was so desperate. Only no sound came out, so you didn't. I felt sharp nails scrape the back of my throat, and the blood was filling my lungs. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't see. The whispers were shouts of incomprehensible rants. They gave me a feeling of loathing. I was gasping for one final breath, but I only inhaled blood. As I drifted away from life, the yells returned to a peaceful whisper, almost a sing-song voice. My lungs cleared and I felt them tightened. I felt them lighten. My throat opened up. I was no longer parched. My crusted eyes opened with ease and I realized where I was now residing. I found myself stranded at the gates of hell. That's it? He thought he was asleep. He tried to get a glass of water. The glass of water made fun of him and exploded. And then he was like, oh shit, dude, it was just a dream. And he's like, wait, no, I'm in hell. Dude, oh, that's great. And this was also hopefully great for you or terrible, in which case you'll be really excited because next week I'm going to start the character Q&A that will be going on for God knows how fucking long. Oh my God, there are so many questions. I look forward to attempting to answer them all for you guys. I think it should be a great time. And thank you for coming here, listening, and hanging out with me. I had a blast, and I will talk to you next week. All right, I love you guys. I'll see you then. Mwah. Bye.